Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, one of the hosts for the longest running Dynasty focused podcast on the planet, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Each week we'll bring you an episode packed with relevant and actionable Dynasty information that you can use to help win your league. When I'm in the host chair, we might even play a game or two. We are always open to topic suggestions, so if there's something you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. Thanks for listening.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, John Hogue and Brian Haar.
From DynastyLeagueFootball.com and... Wrong podcast.
I was about to say something. I was going to be like, yeah, this is the Superflex Super Show.
Let's try this again. I am not Dynasty Outhouse. I am John Hogue, but I do have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I still have a trading problem.
Now I'm Addison Hayes, and I got a trading problem.
So no outhouse today, and I am going to fill in with all of the analysis without the teenage angst. I am John Hogue from the Superflex Super Show, and I am going to guest host this session of the Trade Addicts Podcast. And I'm going to pretend for a minute that I'm not a guest and welcome in our guest, Addison Hayes. That's at @AmazeHayes_ on Twitter, and the founder of FFStatistics.com and co-host of another podcast that I'm on, FF Statistics, the FF Statistics podcast. So, yeah, basically tonight, boys, we are shrinking the podcast universe. It gets extremely incestuous around here. So here we are on the Trade Addicts Podcast with the two hosts of the FF Statistics Podcast. And all three of us cut our teeth on the Superflex, the original Superflex podcast. So if you followed all that, no need to take notes. It's it's only interesting to us, I'm sure. All right, so... Let's talk to Addison for a minute here.
Hey.
What's up, man?
Oh, you know, just another night. I was happy that, Brian, you asked me to come on, so I'm really excited to be on here and finally get to talk some trades and stuff. One of my favorite aspects of fantasy football and dynasty football as well.
Yeah, man, we're really excited to have you. I know we've been trying to make this work out for a while now and finally did so. Glad you're here.
Yeah, we are definitely glad you're here on me and Brian's podcast. Like I said, I got to play the part. So Addy, I got to ask you, how long have you been playing fantasy? How long have you been playing Dynasty?
I've been playing fantasy since eighth grade, which to a lot of people, eighth grade might be like forever ago, but that was... like 9 years ago for me. So I've been playing since I think 2009 2010.
I hate when you do that.
Sorry, I had to play the young card.
Yeah, I know.
You might take the lead on youngest guest, at least. Well, that's not actually true. I think one of Outhouse's children was, you might be able to hear in the background of one of the shows at one point. But invited guests, let's put it that way.
Sure. Yeah, so I've been playing fantasy for about 9 years. I'm one of the first things I remember, you know, my first fantasy football draft consisted of mainly all Steelers because I'm a Steelers fan. As an eighth grader, that was about it. And the only research I put in was logging into my Madden 2008 game and looking at the Madden ratings. So I managed to get guys like Drew Brees, and I had like Mike Wallace as well, and the Steelers defense. And we had one IDP player, and I picked Troy Polamalu, of course. And I won that year, luckily, and won the next 3 years in that same league. So that basically sparked the fantasy football, you know, addiction that we all have. And I joined the Dynasty world and community 2 years ago, or I guess it would have been almost 2 years ago. It was last spring, in like February, March. That's how long I've been playing Dynasty as well. So this was kind of like my full season of playing a regular season, going into the off season, doing all the rookie stuff, and then now coming back into the end of another regular season here. So that's my fantasy history.
Nice. First full cycle. All right. So probably not a whole lot of history here, but let's ask you anyways, what is the best trade that you've ever pulled off and what's the worst?
I don't know if it's good that I immediately thought of an answer for both of these. But they're both in the same league, about 1 year apart. The first one was, these are both in the Goat District Dynasty League. If you guys follow like on Twitter, the Goat District, and they do their podcast and everything to them. So shout out to them. But last July or August, I managed to grab Alvin Kamara off of the owner for 2 second round picks, which a lot of people back then would have been like, wow, you seem to be really high on him, because that was last summer, you know, and then he obviously, we all know what Alvin Kamara did and is right now. I did trade him after that season I do a lot of trades in that league anyway, but I don't remember exactly what I got for him. But then my worst trade I did over this summer was I traded Melvin Gordon away, Gordon and Austin Eckler away for a package of like 4 players highlighted by Mark Ingram and Alex Collins. And the other two were just as bad. So that would be my worst trade that I made. And if I didn't make that trade, I would be significantly better than what I already am right now. Even though I still am a 6-2 team in that league, I should be better.
That one doesn't feel too bad, but like I said,
it didn't at the time.
Yeah,
it is now.
That dude that traded you Kamara, he's puking right now.
Yeah, that one hurts.
Every single time I have the opportunity to, I always remind him. I'll be like, "Hey, you remember when you gave me Kamara for 2 seconds?" He's like, "Dude, shut up."
He's got to be ill over that.
Yeah, that one's tough. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's get into some news real quick. Now that we'll have to talk a little bit more with Addison in a bit about FF statistics. Because for those who don't know, that's a really valuable resource. And so we'll get into that in a little bit. But let's start off with a little bit of news here. Like I said, just playing the part. So I'm going to keep it rolling the way the outhouse would and make him proud. So let's start off with AJ Green. This is the big news at this moment. Going into coming out of week 9 and going into week 10, because AJ Green is going to be out at least 2 weeks. And I essentially what we're hearing is 2 weeks and then he gets that injured toe reevaluated. That must be a weird looking foot at this point. If they're saying, yeah, in 2 weeks we'll look again. And if it still looks like a cartoon character, like after he, you know, dropped an anvil on his foot or something, then we're going to reevaluate this thing and see how long he's out. So it sounds like AJ Green is out for a while. So my question to both of you guys is going to be just an overall fantasy impact on the Cincinnati Bengals offense. Andy Dalton, Tyler Boyd, you know, maybe Josh Malone, maybe John Ross does something for you. Even Joe Mixon could be impacted by this. So start off with Brian. Where are you at with the rest of the Cincinnati offense while AJ Green is out?
I think they're likely to hand the ball off a little bit more. I think Mixon is probably the guy that benefits the most from an opportunity standpoint. Now, without Green out there, I don't know, you know, the focal point of defenses is probably going to be on him too. So we'll have to see how he does with, you know, with teams stacking the box. The good news is I think the Bengals have a little bit of a softer kind of strength of schedule here moving forward with the passing game. So we'll see how that plays into it as well. I expect Tyler Boyd to just, I think he becomes the main guy there now. I mean, he's already getting targeted 7, 8, 9 times a game. So, you know, with Green out, I think he's going to probably see an uptick as well, you know, but I guess the biggest thing that I see is I think they'll turn around and hand it off to Mixon probably, you know, significantly more, or at least slightly more than they have so far. So that's kind of where I see the impact of Green being out.
Yeah, I mean, just to piggyback off of that, I did have the same concerns as Brian with Joe Mixon. Basically that offense as a whole, you know, because whenever you lose a significant piece like that, it all the offensive firepower kind of drops a little bit, just because you know, the opportunities to get like first downs, continue drives, and then eventually get into the red zone and score all kind of drop a little bit. Like as an overall offense, this hurts kind of everybody. And if it means more defenders in the box to stack up against Joe Mixon, you know, that's not good for him. I really hope that they don't put Tyler Boyd on the outside. I like him in the slot against that slot cornerback, which is where he's made a lot of his fantasy success over the season so far, you know, with AJ Green on the outside, pulling in out the other team's cornerback one. So I'm interested to see Boyd's utilization in the coming weeks, especially next week. They play the Saints next week, so that'll be really interesting to see kind of how they change on offense based on AJ Green's absence. Then they got the Ravens the next week, so that's not a good matchup at all. I'll probably be fading a lot of, if not all, of the Cincinnati Bengals. I think this hurts Andy Dalton. I think he was a quality, like, high-end quarterback, too, in those Superflex leagues and kind of every other week streaming start for at the quarterback position for one quarterback leagues. And I don't really think he has that upside anymore because he lost that, you know, that number one elite wide receiver on the outside. And so I really hope AJ Green comes back. I'm a huge AJ Green truther and guy. So I really want him back. I have him in a lot of leagues. So please get healthy, AJ.
Yeah, seriously. So Josh Malone is literally right behind AJ Green on the depth chart. It's kind of one of those rare wide receiver handcuff situations. But I mean, the bottom line is you lose a piece like AJ Green. You lose any piece of any offense, any major piece, and the entire offense suffers. So yeah, hopefully he can make it back in 2 weeks. Hopefully the swelling goes down and he avoids surgery and we get him back sooner rather than later. But let's stay in the AFC North real quick here, where Le'Veon Bell said farewell to Miami in a very cryptic tweet, which made it sound like he's taking his talents out of South Beach and maybe back to the actual football field. But at the same time, the Pittsburgh Steelers still have not heard from Le'Veon Bell to this point. They've got a short week before they play the Carolina Panthers on Thursday. So even if Le'Veon Bell reported, like as we're recording this podcast on Monday night, it's still probably not real likely that he's even active for Thursday night's game, much less sees any time on the field. But you guys are both Pittsburgh Steelers fans, so I mean, you guys have all the insight here. So I'm going to defer to both of you guys. Let's start with Addison. What does this do? What do you make of this running back situation in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. So one of the first things I want to say is I was going through Twitter earlier today, and I saw I forget the guy's name, but he is Twitter verified, so there is that. But he did say that he heard from a source that Le'Veon Bell is going to the Michigan State Ohio State game on Saturday. Michigan State, you know, that's the college that Le'Veon went to. It's reported that he's going to attend that game, and then he will report to the Steelers next week. And I believe that he is the 13th. Next Tuesday, I think, is the last day that he has to like report to the Steelers. Or I don't know if it's any time next week, but I think I might be the 13th. That to report to the Steelers to still accrue his season so that he becomes a free agent next year. In terms of what this does for this season, I've always been in the camp that when he returns, he's going to get the full volume back, because I don't think the Steelers are just going to let him just kind of play like half the snaps with James Conner, even though they've had a lot of success with James Conner. And I think they are more likely to run the tire tracks off of him before he hits free agency to make him less valuable. And then they could possibly use the transition tag on him next year and get some sort of compensation and first say in declining any offer that Le'Veon gets and then let him walk and get that compensation. But I, as a Steelers fan, I would love it if they were to find some sort of a way to get Connor and Bell out on the field at the same time. Like, can you imagine, like, Ben and Connor in shotgun with AB on the outside, Juju on the outside, Le'Veon Bell in the slot, and then the other slot, they got, like, Vance McDonald. Like, that's an insane offense there. And for actual football, that would be really, really great. But for fantasy football, you know, that might hurt both Le'Veon and James Connor for sure. It might even impact the entire offense in terms of target shares and stuff like that. But the offense would be clicking and moving and be very, very strong and leads to a lot of opportunities for touchdowns, which are very valuable for fantasy. So there might be enough to give around just in terms of pure, you know, efficiency and effectiveness. But I don't know. It's tough to see, even as a Steelers fan. It's tough to gauge what they're going to do, really, with Le'Veon Bell. I'm really interested to see how Brian takes it.
Yeah, so I've talked a lot about Lev Bell on this show in the past several weeks. And you know, for me, nothing's changed in terms of my opinion on this thing. I actually am on the other side. I don't think Le'Veon Bell touches the football field unless there's an injury to James Conner.
That's a possibility.
I really don't. And for me, you know, well, why would they pay him the money then, right? Why don't they just cut him and let him go? For two reasons. Number one, they don't want him to sign in New England because somehow he would end up in New England or somewhere to a competing team that would pay him enough for six games or whatever it ends up being. And number two, he's a $6 million insurance policy, in my opinion, for Connor. You know, and look, I'm not taking anything away from Le'Veon Bell. He's one of the best running backs we've seen in this league, you know, from a talent perspective, maybe ever. I mean, he's, as far as an all around talent goes, he's outstanding. He's an outstanding football player. Having said that, do you really know what you're going to get when you get him back too? I mean, this guy's head's not in the game, period. If he cared about the football part, he would be there. Or he would at least, this whole thing would have gone a little bit differently. And I understand, I'm not crapping on Lev for sitting out and protecting his body and or any of that. A lot of people, when you start talking about Le'Veon Bell, if you say anything negative about him, it's like, well, what would you do in that situation? Da, 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 da. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. He's handled it the way he feels is best for him to handle it. And he should do that. I mean, he's got to look out for himself. So, you know, but having said that, from a team perspective, I don't think, I mean, if you had a teammate, you know, anybody, any of us that have played any type of competitive sport, if you had a teammate that busted his butt with you all year, happened to be one of the best in the league, by the way, at doing so. And then you have a guy that has been sitting on the sidelines when he's 100% healthy and, you know, not contributing whatsoever. And he just waltzes back into the dressing room. I can't see that. You know, yes, these guys are professionals and yes, they want to win, but I can't see that happening. I think they'll welcome him back in a way, you know, so that it doesn't disrupt things, or at least as best they can. I'm talking about the players. But at the same point, I mean, the second they would yank Connor, who's been battling with them, for Bell, you know, I don't know. I don't think that's going to be real smooth. So, you know, from a talent perspective, again, I agree with you. I think if they could figure out a way to get him on the field and could get in, you know, 80% of Lev Bell's talent and production somehow, and still have Connor on there too, doing what he's been doing, that would be outstanding from a football perspective and from a fan perspective. I'm a Steelers fan as well. So, you know, I don't see it happening that way. I think the Steelers are done with Le'Veon Bell. I think they're going to pay him his $6 million. He's going to be an insurance policy for Connor in case Connor goes down, because here's the other thing. If Connor goes down and Bell refuses to play throughout the stretch or in the playoffs, imagine what that's going to do to his value in the league too. There's a guy that won't play in the playoffs because he wants a long-term contract. You know what I mean? Like that's mm-hmm. getting into like, I mean, if I was a GM, I wouldn't touch it. I don't care how talented he is. So I'm not a GM. I'm a I'm an armchair quarterback or armchair GM, I guess, you know, but I wouldn't want a player like that on my team if he were to do something like that. Again, what he's done so far, whatever, that is what it is, you know, but I see him as a $6 million insurance policy for the Steelers.
Man, it's going to get really interesting. I mean, so from a football standpoint, you want James Conner on the field because, I mean, quite honestly, he's the better player. That's at this moment, especially considering he's actually been taking the reps, you know, since the end of training camp. Meanwhile, you know, while Le'Veon Bell has been, I don't even know what he's doing down in Miami, but certainly not running the football. So from a football standpoint, I mean, you want James Conner out there. From a business standpoint, you put Le'Veon Bell out there because you're paying him way too much. There's kind of no reason not to run him into the ground and save, you know, preserve James Conner for future seasons because he's the future of your backfield. And it feels to me like what ends up happening here is just some kind of stupid split that just ruins it for everybody. But I don't know. Like I said, I wanted to defer to you guys because you've got a little bit more insight. You're a little closer to the situation than anybody else. So it'll get interesting. But we'll move on here to the next piece of news. Bruce Arians, here's a guy. Talk about offense with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the possibilities with Le'Veon Bell and James Conner on the field at the same time. Still in the AFC North, Bruce Arians could he's actually open to coaching the Cleveland Browns. That's the only team that that's the only team he would want to coach. So, and he's willing to do it. So yeah, talk about offense. What he could do with that offense. Anybody here interested in seeing that?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes.
From a fantasy perspective, yes. From a Pittsburgh Steelers fan perspective, absolutely not.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you're probably, for the Steelers purposes, you're probably a ways away from having to worry about it, really. But it could definitely help this turnaround quite a bit faster and maybe help the offense catch up to the defense. But I don't even know how much analysis we can really do on that right at the moment. I mean, that would be awesome to see it, but it needs to become a little bit more of a reality. But definitely wanted to call it out because that was an interesting development. One last piece of news here. Washington's whole offensive line is hurt. I don't have any notes on that. What's the deal there, Brian?
Yes, I saw where four of their five starting offensive linemen got banged up this week. It looks like two of them could be out for at least several games. I'm trying to find it. But yeah, so that could definitely affect Washington's playoff hopes and stuff moving forward. I mean, they're 5-3, so they have a little bit of a cushion there in the East. But you know, if you're missing Hog Mollies up front, that's never a good thing, and especially for a guy like Adrian Peterson who's been having a decent season, you know. You kind of saw what happened this week when some of those guys went out. So,
plus they just lost Paul Richardson for the season, by the way. So, I mean, it's a winnable division too, but Washington just can't get healthy, just can't stay healthy. When Adrian Peterson and Alex Smith, you know, a combined, 70 something years old between the two of them, and they're your healthiest players. Yeah, that's pretty dire straits. But I mean, does that scare you guys off of Adrian Peterson, Alex Smith? Man, is there anybody on that offense that you're interested in beyond Adrian Peterson? I suppose Alex Smith maybe in super deep, super flex leagues. Beyond that, I mean, Addison, any interest in the Washington offense at this point?
No, that whole team's crap. There's nothing more to say.
Their DST ends up being a decent play from time to time.
Sure, yeah. I don't know how they're, you know, 5-3. It's beyond me, but.
Seriously. That's what I mean. It's a winnable division, man. But I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I'm not really either, at least short term. I mean, long term, I'm still hanging on to the hope that Jamison Crowder can do something in dynasty leagues, but it's not, I don't know, it's not looking great at this point. So, yeah, I'm not really, Washington's really not an offense that I'm invested a whole lot in. So, and I don't think, you know, I mean, this would change it if I was, I guess, but I don't really know, you know, how it would change it because I don't own those players. So,
all right. Well, we're going to stick with the Washington Redskins, but we're going to move on to our next segment here and make amends with a few players. Do you do the intro there, right, Brian? You've got the soundbite.
Yeah, I've got the soundbite that changes every week. It's time for make amends.
Nice. Nice. All right. Yeah, we're going to make amends with a few players here, and we're going to start with Addison and stick with, like I said, the Washington team.
I just had to breathe. I just had to inhale real quick before we start talking about AP. So,
wow, this is going to be a marathon, huh?
So this is based on just last week. This is fully based on Adrian Peterson's week 9 performance, okay? So I started playing DFS, DraftKings, okay? And I was doing all my math, doing all my spreadsheets and stuff, doing all that fun stuff, and I was, you know, optimizing my lineup for all this stuff, and Adrian Peterson came out to be one of the best values for the week. He was only $6,000 on DraftKings, and he was coming into a really, really good matchup against Atlanta, where in the past 4 weeks, they haven't allowed less than 20 fantasy points to their running back one. And AP had just come off of a huge game. And, you know, I was really, really into playing Adrian Peterson this week because I felt like he had, you know, a nice floor for cash games. And, you know, that ceiling that if he hit would really give me some value and kind of make up for if one of my other players, like one of my wide receivers, you know, didn't really meet their potential or something like that, that he could help boost that up. And he freaking gets 6.3 fantasy points. You know, he had, what was his final stat line? 9 for 17 on the ground and another like 3 receptions for 16 yards through the air. And that wasn't even my, like, they went down like immediately. Like the Falcons were in control this whole entire game. So I get not going to AP, you know, a lot, you know, to like run down the clock or whatnot. But I was watching football. I was watching the Steelers game. And you know that ticker on the bottom? And it says score alert. What do I see? The first score alert, what do I see for Washington Redskins? Josh Doctson, 2-yard touchdown. And I think to myself, why would you not give that ball to Adrian Peterson? Because, you know, obviously because I started him in DraftKings, that's why. Then later on, I see another score alert. Washington Redskins score. Capri Bibbs, 3-yard rushing touchdown. And I think to myself, why did you not give that to Adrian Peterson? Well, it's because I started him in DraftKings, that's why. Obviously. So one of the what I believe to be one of the safest plays in DFS for this week, got 2 touchdowns vultured inside the 3, and then was nullified by game script because the Falcons decided to go off this week against the freaking Washington Redskins, a team that everybody's been talking about how under the radar they are, their defense is really good, blah, 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 and then their entire offensive line gets hurt too. That's really great. So, Adrian Peterson.
Nice. Also, by the way, you brought up DFS several times. I feel like maybe that's what your amends should have been. You should have made amends with DFS, just kind of in general. After the tumultuous couple weeks that particular format have had.
No, we don't need to talk about that. I'm playing DFS now, so
Yeah.
It's actually a lot of fun. I did have a lot of fun. Cash games is where it's at. I don't play the GPPs. I play cash. It's actually a lot of fun, especially for a stat guy like me. So.
Yeah. Are you
But Adrian Peterson screws me over, so.
Yeah. So it bad luck trumped skill there, huh? Is that what you're saying?
It seems like it. It would appear that that would be the reason why I lost.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to Brian before we get you in any more trouble than you've already been in lately.
Yeah, so my make amends this week is Corey Clement. And I have been recorded on this show saying that I believe that Clement can be a bell cow back, kind of like he was at Wisconsin, and that he could handle a higher workload and in the NFL. And over the last 3 weeks since he returned from injury, he's had 11, 8, and 4 carries respectively for a total of 55 yards. And he's only caught 3 balls, which is another area where I just kind of saw him excelling, especially with the way he played in the Super Bowl. So maybe I overestimated that a little bit. The thing about Philly's backfield is it's always going to be a committee. It doesn't matter who the backs are in that backfield. They're gonna run 3 or 4 of them. So, apologies on that one. I thought that Corey Clement might have an opportunity to at least carve out a larger than even split with the rest of his colleagues in that backfield, and it does not appear that that is going to be the case here moving forward. So, apologies again, and Corey Clement is my make amends this week.
And you can make up for it by going out and getting Josh Adams freaking everywhere. Because
Yeah.
that guy, that he looks like everything that we thought Corey Clement would be.
Yep.
All right,
So what
so
about you, John? Yeah, you're getting in on this too. What's do you have a make amends?
yeah, I definitely do. So you have to make amends with somebody every single week. You've had to do this, what, 9 or 10 times now.
Yep.
So I mean, you have to dig a little bit deep. It's getting a little tougher every week, I imagine. This is the first time I've had to do this. So I get to start at the very top with Todd Gurley. And so first of all, I mean, just based on this past week, I had Todd Gurley as one of my bust alerts. Just because, I mean, he was going up against a very good run defense in New Orleans. Who can also create a negative game script against running backs pretty easily, and they did that. But Todd Gurley still ju he still ended up with a touchdown. He just volumes his way into elite fantasy numbers every single week. And I can't keep saying that this is going to stop because it doesn't. He just keeps going with this. I think there are better running backs in the NFL, but you cannot deny the Sean McVay system, and you can't deny the talent, the overall talent of Todd Gurley, and you definitely can't deny the volume that Todd Gurley's getting. So, and then as far as the actual season goes, I mean, me and Addison had talked quite a bit about this offline at different times, but what was it, Addy? When was the last time? When was it that LaDainian Tomlinson repeated as the RB1 overall in back-to-back seasons?
3-0-3-0-4 or 0-4-0-5, one of those two pairs.
So somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 years. It's been 15 years since this has happened. I mean, this is a game of probability, and the probability said that Todd Gurley was not going to do what he did last year. And here we are. He RB1 overall, kind of not close, and no signs of slowing down. So, yeah, I guess I apologize, Todd Gurley. You are an absolute freak of nature and a statistical anomaly. Congratulations.
John, you know what I love about this the absolute most? I'm sitting here, right? So I'm a staunch supporter of the Superflex Super Show and all three of you guys over there.
Great.
And so hearing you and Travis every single week, right? Back and forth. And,
oh,
and that, you know, it is. And the dynamic that you guys have. And I'm just sitting here thinking about him listening to your response to that and just freaking out, because even in the admission, it's a lot of, I guess, I'm sorry. And you're a statistical anomaly.
Dripping with disdain and sarcasm and congratulations. You're doing something that wasn't possible. It hasn't been done in Addison's lifetime. But
oh, I love it. I love it.
But yeah, congratulations. Good for you. Good, great, grand. Yeah,
oh,
Todd Gurley. That's... Luckily, I don't believe that Travis is going to listen to this. He's going to see my name on this and skip right over it.
Check out.
So, yeah, so I'm sorry to you and Outhouse. I mean, you're going to be down a listener this week.
No,
so.
That's all right. That's yeah. All right.
your numbers are going to be identical, except for it's going to be one less listener, and
minus
that's going to be Travis the Beard.
Well, see, we are getting that younger crowd now with Addison in here. I mean, he's bringing
true.
All the teeny boppers and,
yeah,
you know.
It's lit.
Oh, this is good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, John, you know what I should say, though? I one thing about Todd Gurley was, did I mention this is the first week I played DFS ever doing all this stuff?
No.
Yeah, I mentioned it was my first week playing DFS ever. And so, you know, I started Todd Gurley this week. And you know what he didn't do? He didn't score 30. This is the first game ever this all freaking year that he scored less than 20 points. You know why? Because I started him.
All right, well, maybe you need to apologize to some people, including Todd Gurley.
I'm sorry, Todd. I'm sorry that you didn't do better against the freaking New Orleans Saints who scored. When your team puts up like 40 freaking points.
And apologize to all of DFS yet again for bringing your bad luck into their highly skilled game and
yes.
just completely contorting it. All right. Yeah, that one got a little cathartic, I suppose. So, all right, we're going to move on to the next segment, buy, trade, keep. And again, start with Addison. We're looking for one of each, a player that you're buying, you're actively trying to buy in your trades, a player that you're looking to sell on, and one player who his value might be down a little bit, but you're still hanging in there.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like some of these are, there's a lot of names you could name for all three of these, and I immediately jumped to, I think, two out of the three, and then I had to mess around my buy. So my buy right now is Aaron Jones. And one
yes.
of the biggest, I mean, Brian,
yes,
you know who you're talking to, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it's funny because on the FS Statistics podcast, John and I argued over whether or not he's in a dynasty RB1 right now. And I argued that he wasn't, but that he's like, you know, he's getting there. He's probably in around 15-ish. But it was just weird for me to argue against that because it's Aaron Jones. He's my boy, the next David Johnson. And so I had him in here, obviously, because of the week that he just had. You know, he got a majority of the volume and everything like that. And one of the key reasons why I think that he's a buy right now, not because of the fact that his value is only going up. So I don't think you're going to be able to get him for cheaper. But I was looking at DLF's Trade Finder. Dynasty Trade Finder. These are some recent trades for Aaron Jones that happened in the past like 3 days, within the past 3 days. So you got Aaron Jones for Mike Williams and Jordan Reed and a second. I think that's fair value. I like that. Then you got Aaron Jones for Royce Freeman. Come on now. You got Aaron Jones and Amari Cooper for Devontae Parker and a first.
What?
Aaron Jones for Chris Godwin. Aaron Jones for James Washington, a third and a fourth. Aaron Jones for AP and Wendell Smallwood. Aaron Jones, Shepard, and two firsts for Fournette and 2 seconds. Another Aaron Jones for Chris Godwin. Aaron Jones for Amari Cooper. Aaron Jones for Tre'Quan Smith. Aaron Jones in a second for D.D. Westbrook in a third. Like, come on now, guys.
Some of those are incredibly offensive.
I know. And I want to say that, you know, I thought the community was higher on Aaron Jones, but apparently not. There is one trade here, Aaron Jones for Dalvin Cook, straight up. So that one interests me.
Yeah, that one's interesting. Yeah. That might not even quite be. I I don't remember. We talked about that one, but I don't remember what we where we came down on that one.
It's really super close.
It's razor thin.
I think we were basically saying, we said Aaron Jones, I think, basically just based on health.
Yeah.
What
do you think about that one, Brian? What would you do? Aaron Jones, Dalvin Cook?
In dynasty leagues, I would
So real quick, while Brian thinks this over, I've got to point out, I mean, me and Addison have definitely been vocal on our various corners of the dynasty football community about Aaron Jones, but Brian is right there with us too. We should actually change the name of this to the Aaron Jones Addicts Podcast just for this episode, because this is the fan club right here. These are the top three. These are the leaders and the bandwagon drivers.
Yeah, for sure. And I love Jones. I think he's just as talented. And he is healthy. God, if he wouldn't have fumbled the ball, if he wouldn't have fumbled the ball last night,
I don't care about that.
Yeah, it's so dumb. Well, that it matters.
I don't either. The problem is Mike McCarthy does.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I would. So I think right now on November 5th, 2018, I would probably take Dalvin Cook because I think he holds more value in the community. Not because I want to own him more than Aaron Jones, but just because I think he holds more value. I think I could probably turn him in another deal for more than I could get, at least from most people. I mean, if you find somebody like one of us who's super high on Jones, then obviously, you know, we would definitely consider this deal and maybe even make it. But I think the majority of the community still values Cook quite a bit higher than they do Jones. So because of that, I may take that deal and try to flip. But or if I really wanted Jones, I'd just try to get I'd try to get something added with him for Dalvin Cook if I was trading Cook away at this point. But I do think it's a lot closer than most people probably think.
Yeah. No, that's exactly where I came down on it, I believe. So, yeah. All right. Yeah, we'll let you finish off, Addison, with your other two guys.
So my trade right now is Amari Cooper, who we are recording this Monday night at 10:45, and it is currently the middle of the fourth quarter right now in the Titans-Cowboys game. And so Cooper currently has 4 receptions, 39 yards, and a touchdown on 6 targets. And I want him far and away from my team as possible. Not that I own him anywhere. But use this performance to justify to trade partners that this is what to expect from Amari Cooper moving forward. And it's not to say that I think he's going to be the same as what he was in Oakland. I think he's going to have a little bit more of a consistent floor. And the ceiling is still there, but the floor raised a little bit. So that helps. But I want him away, really far away from my team, and let somebody else have to deal with him on a weekly basis. And I want some sort of wide receiver comparable type player back. I can't really come up with something off the top of my head as to whom you should try and target for Amari Cooper, maybe like Aaron Jones. But if you can trade him away for good value on top of this game, do it. And then my keep is Keenan Allen. I've been a huge Keenan Allen fan for like the past like 3 years. And I had him as like a top 3 wide receiver to start this year. And he hasn't come to that yet, but he had that same slow start last year as he had this year. And we saw what he did yesterday. He had like 6 for 100 and like 20 or something like that. No touchdown because the Williams brothers are still getting all the touchdowns. But you know, Keenan Allen is still actively involved in the passing game, and he is Phillip Rivers' favorite target. Maybe not in the red zone so much now because he's the smallest of the three, but he's going to be that PPR machine, that PPR guy that you can rely on each and every week to get you a target and receiving yards floor. And if he happens to score a touchdown, that's only going to vault his week and help your lineup even more. So I'm a keep on Keenan Allen right now because I don't think you're going to get fair value for him because I think other owners will try to try and sell you low on him, and if you're trying to buy him, I think you know an owner is going to be like, well, obviously he's worth a little bit more than what you know you're going to lowball that guy as well. So he's a keep because I think his success is only going to get better from here on out. If not, do exactly what he did yesterday, and he'll be a consistent like 15 points per game type of wide receiver.
Nice. So you just had to throw a shot in there at Amari Cooper, but that's staying on brand. All right, Brian, give us a buy, trade, keep.
Yeah, so my buy is actually Dak Prescott. And I know that is kind of a, I don't know, people might kind of barf a little in their mouths on that one. I'm not sure, but I don't know. I think, you know, Prescott has been not very good here. He's been the quarterback 27, I believe, at least in Trade Addict scoring, which is pretty standard quarterback scoring. And you know, that's not great. I think for me, the thing about Prescott is he's 25 years old. He has maybe the best, and this is saying something, right? Maybe the best receiver he's played with now in Amari Cooper coming over. And again, that's probably saying something. I mean, I think Dez obviously early in his career, but you know, the Dez that Dak was playing with is not the same Dez that, you know, Tony was playing with essentially. So, you know, I think that this offense has nowhere to go but up. And you know, young quarterbacks who have shown at least glimpses are valuable assets, especially in super flex leagues, which all of the Trade Addicts leagues are. So Dak is a guy that I am targeting as a buy low, you know, because right now I think you can probably get him a lot lower than, you know, for a lot less of a cost than you maybe will be able to get him moving forward or have been able to get him in the past. So Dak's my buy. Again, I'm hoping that this Amari thing works out, and I hope Michael Gallup, that's another guy that's been lost in all this stuff with Cooper coming over. You know, he had that week right before they made the trade for Cooper where he kind of didn't break out, but he had a pretty solid week. You know, if he can continue to grow too, you know, then that'll help things as well. And obviously with Zeke running the ball, that's always going to open up the opportunity for play action and different things like that. So, and then moving on to my trade, I have James White as my trade, which, you know, James White has been a monster this season, you know, in PPR leagues. I mean, he's a beast. The reason I have him as my trade is because I just think he is a guy that right now you could sell and get the farm for. And I don't know moving forward, you know, he's definitely going to have a role in New England. You know, those pass catching backs always have a role in that offense, but New England is starting to run the football a lot more. I mean, you've seen it with Sony a little bit earlier in the year. He's coming back healthy now and he's going to be there moving forward. You even saw it last night and over the last couple of games with Cordero Patterson. You know, they're giving him opportunities to run the football. Tom Brady statistically last night for fantasy purposes had one of his worst nights at all. They won the game by 2 touchdowns and scored a ton of points, but New England's starting to run the ball more. And while James White is a running back, he doesn't run the football essentially, you know, his the majority of his value, he's not a bad runner at all, but the majority of his value is in the passing game. So for that reason, you know, and because again, I think you could get a lot for him right now. I would look to maybe move him and capitalize on that. And then moving into my keep, my keep's DJ, David Johnson. And, you know, DJ started the year kind of slow. Obviously, that offense was terrible. They made the coordinator change, and he had his best game since the beginning of the season with Byron Leftwich calling things and as the OC. Then they get a bye week here this past weekend. you know, and now they have one of the easiest schedules moving forward for running the football. So I think, you know, the bye week, I think, is really going to be helpful here for Leftwich to kind of get more involved and see how he can use his weapons there. I think this is going to help the Arizona offense tremendously. I think as Josh Rosen continues to develop into a I think he's going to develop into a star, really. But as he continues to develop, you know, throughout this season and then moving forward, I think that's going to open things up for DJ again as well, both in terms of opportunity catching the ball and then also just in terms of opportunity running the ball, because he's not going to be facing stack box. So for that reason, I'm keeping David Johnson. You know, his value has slid for sure over the last 2 months. You know, I picked him, Scott Fishbowl, I picked him second overall. So, you know, and I don't think anybody would dream about touching him at that pick at this point in startup drafts. So, you know, so I would hang on to him and kind of let him regain his form and his value. You know, he's still only going to be 27 years old next season. And, you know, he missed all of last season. So there's not as much tread on those tires as a normal 27-year-old running back, a guy like Lev Bell. You know, so I think DJ's going to recapture that form. So I'm hanging on to him everywhere I own him. And with that, John, why don't you go ahead and move into your buy, trade, and keep?
All right. So the guy I'm buying, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the second best, and it's a close second, wide receiver in Green Bay. He matched Jimmy Graham and Randall Cobb in targets. He's also matching Randall Cobb in snaps, working out of the slot. He's becoming one of Aaron Rodgers' favorite targets, especially when Davante Adams is drawing the tougher coverage. He saw a lot of Stephon Gilmore on Sunday night, and he still led the team in targets. But Marquez Valdes-Scantling was right there. Like I said, he was second along with Jimmy Graham and Randall Cobb with six targets apiece. He gets the long 51-yard reception. So he caught three of them for 101 yards. So a little bit of a fluky stat line there. But just, like I said, just focus in on the fact that he's getting more snaps, as many snaps right at the moment as Randall Cobb. And he's getting targeted fairly frequently. And he's one of those dynamic playmakers that Aaron Rodgers is going to be constantly looking for deep down the field. I'm going to trade Adam Thielen. I know. Man, Twitter is going to, particularly Jake Anderson, he's going to have a huge problem with this one. So I'm expecting Addison to back me up just based on that. But Adam Thielen Thielen got a lot of Darius Slay against the Lions this past week. And we saw the end of the 100-yard streak. I think that a lot of people are going to expect that to start right back up again. And that you're still talking about, you know, the number one wide receiver in all of Dynasty. And if the age bothers me. You know, Stephon Diggs is still there. That decreases his value for me. The fact that now he's starting to get the tougher coverage is that all of those things work against Adam Thielen. And then the big thing is this was the game script that the Minnesota Vikings want. They want to run the ball. They want the running game to actually work. They want the defense to actually work. The defense still isn't fully healthy. Xavier Rhodes barely made it onto the field in this game. And did a great job against Kenny Golladay and a little bit against Marvin Jones, but primary Golladay. And, you know, they held the Lions to 9 points. This is the way the Minnesota Vikings want to win football games, is with the defense, with the running game. They've had to lean on the passing game for most of this season, and that's where you see so much volume going to Adam Thielen that he ends up with 100 yards and a score pretty much every week. It's not going to keep going that way. That's not the way they want to win games. And if they're throwing the ball near as much as they did in previous games before week 9, they're not winning games. They're not going to the playoffs. And even if they do sneak in, they're not going to get very far. So this is the type of game script that the Minnesota Vikings are looking for. And we're going to see a lot more of it. And then keep Mike Evans. He just had a disgusting game against the Carolina Panthers. As somebody who owns Mike Evans all over the place, we had been told all week that Ryan Fitzpatrick targets Mike Evans where Jameis Winston does not. Now Ryan Fitzpatrick regains the starting job as the quarterback for Tampa Bay. And so we were expecting a big game from Mike Evans. The part that gets missed is that James Bradbury is the most underrated shutdown corner in the NFL right now. He's about to become a household name, but he just shut Mike Evans down. That's not going to happen all the time. Yeah, so Washington this week, I mean, he draws Josh Norman, who, I mean, is just a name and a reputation at this point. He's nowhere near the player he used to be, and he's not James Bradbury either. So, first of all, yeah, don't worry about Mike Evans. He's going to be fine. He's going to be awesome with Ryan Fitzpatrick going forward. Second of all, when you see your wide receiver one going up against that Carolina Panthers defense, it might be time to panic. That's one of those. That's Patrick Peterson a couple years ago. That's Xavier Rhodes last year. This is one of those matchups that you just want to avoid going forward. And I know they say start your studs, but when your stud is lined up across from James Bradbury, consider benching him.
You're an idiot on Adam Thielen. Sorry, I had to say it.
Come on, what are you doing?
I'm a huge Adam Thielen fan.
Yeah?
That's all. You can't just trade the guy who had eight straight games of 100 yards.
Oh, watch me.
Oh, you're going to trade him right to me then.
Yeah. It sounds like I probably should, actually, because I feel like I could probably get, I mean, I could clearly get Mike Evans plus for him, and I think Mike Evans is going to be better the rest of the season than Adam Thielen.
It depends on the plus. That's entirely what it is for me, because I do like Mike Evans. You know, it's just Thielen has been insane.
Yeah.
So I feel like his value is high enough that you can get a pretty significant plus.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. It's not that I think Thielen is going to suck. I just think that his value is just so inflated right now.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I'm not really looking to move him where I have him unless I just get an enormous offer. Just because especially the two leagues that I have him, I'm competing in both of those too. So for me, it doesn't make a ton of sense. I don't think, you know, for a contender to move him, I don't think it makes as much sense as for somebody who's rebuilding. I wouldn't have any issues with somebody moving him in a rebuild.
Evans and Aaron Jones or Thielen.
Oh, Evans and Jones, easy.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. And like I said, that's the whole point, is I think that you can right now, you can trade Adam Thielen for a slight downgrade at wide receiver one, not a big one. I mean, you're still getting back a wide receiver one like Mike Evans and another starter at a premium position like running back. So, yeah, I think that you can make that trade. That's the entire point. But let's move on to our last segment here, get into some Trade Addict trades. And first, let's have Brian set this up a little bit. I'm not in any Trade Addict leagues. I don't know if Addison is. Probably need to rectify that in the off season. But so tell us about the scoring so that we can properly analyze these.
Yeah, so I'll get in trouble if I don't do this. So we're moving into the Trade Addicts trades. And oh, yeah. The Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team. Superflex PPR tight end premium leagues, and in all but one, I believe we also get half of a tenth of a point for return yardage. So
that's like how they
kind of sets things up.
That's like when you pay for gas and you have to pay 9/10 of a penny or whatever it is.
Yes, essentially. Yeah. But it does make return guys that also play, also play a good bit at running back or wide receiver. It does make them a little bit more valuable. I mean, they can end up scoring an additional 5 to 10 points a game sometimes. So just depends on the type of guy and how many times they're getting kicked off due to. So return guys on bad defenses, right?
Nice. Cool. Okay, there we go. So that makes this one pretty egregious to me, this first one. But this is in Trade Addicts 4, Aaron Rodgers and DeSean Jackson for Ezekiel Elliott and Josh Reynolds. So the Twitter poll, Rodgers won this one, but just barely. It's 52% to 48%. Where are you guys at on this one?
I'll take Zeke.
Superflex.
I'll take Zeke.
Superflex. Superflex Addison.
See, so this is I do believe that you could have gotten more if you were trading away Aaron Rodgers. I think you could have gotten a little bit more. I'm not a Josh Reynolds guy. So Reynolds for DJAC, sure. So I think it also is dependent on your quarterback situation. Like if you're John and you started out with Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and Carson Wentz, then I think that you can move Rodgers for Zeke. But you know, if you're talking like Rodgers and Andy Dalton and, Josh Rosen, then that's probably not a trade that really makes sense for you. So this is kind of team dependent for me. In a vacuum though, I don't care as much about quarterbacks, but that's also just because of how I handle quarterbacks in Superflex leagues. So I would trust myself to have two other guys behind him with a third reasonable new QB3. So I would take the Zeke side, but I feel like this is very team dependent.
No, it's not. All right, Brian.
I'm kind of the same. I mean, I think I would lean towards the Rodgers side in this deal, but I mean, I can see an argument for the other side depending on the situation with the team. So unfortunately, I'm going to kind of cop out on this one as well. But but yeah, I mean, if this was in a vacuum, I think I'd take the Rodgers and Jackson side. But I can, like I said, I can definitely see an argument for making the move for Elliott if you're, if you have other options at QB. So.
Yeah. So in my Superflex rankings over at DLF, the difference between Aaron Rodgers and Ezekiel Elliott is somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 15 spots. So yeah, this isn't close. Rodgers is the number one asset in Superflex Dynasty. And you have to get so much more, including a quarterback. You've got to get a quarterback on the other end of that. And that's pretty much regardless of your roster construction. If you're going to give up the number one quarterback in all of Dynasty in a super flex league where you can start two of them, you've got to get, at the very least, you've got to get a starting quarterback in return.
But yeah, that's fair.
All right, next. Thank you. All right, also from Trade Addicts 4, Kenyon Drake and Tyler Lockett, and they got 72% of the vote. Marcus Mariota, Mike Gesicki, and Jordan Wilkins, and they got 28% of the vote. Man, your league hates quarterbacks, don't they, Brian? What do you think about this one?
Ooh, yeah. I know that this is, I know the return yardage thing played into this decision, and I know because I'm in this league. I'm actually in all of these except Trade Addicts 1. I'm in all the Trade Addicts leagues except for 1. But yeah, I know because of the group chat that the return yardage definitely played in, and the gentleman who traded away, Mariota here, I think is pretty set at quarterback as well. But I would still probably tend to lean on that side, in this one. I'm not overly enamored with either Drake or Lockett. So, for me, I think the potential upside, if Mariota can ever get his stuff together, outweighs those two gentlemen and what they produce. And then I'm a big Mike Gesicki guy too. I think this is a kid that it's going to be 4 years from now. I mean, he's truly going to be one of these guys, I think, that doesn't break out until, you know, until he's 26, 27 years old, in Miami or elsewhere. I mean, they may move on from him because they get impatient. But I mean, the kid is a freak athlete, you know, and I think as he continues to work in NFL strength and conditioning programs and continues to learn NFL offenses and that type of thing, I think he's just going to excel. And yes, there is probably a smidgen of homerism in that. He's a Penn State guy, but he really is a freak of an athlete. If you YouTube him and watch some of the videos of him dunking a basketball, it's absolutely ridiculous. This dude can jump with darn near anybody. So, you know, so again, I probably lean that side. You know, I'm not sure Jordan Wilkins is going to get a ton of looks in Indy, but we'll see how that shakes out and if everybody in front of him can stay healthy. But I would lean to that side with Mariota and Gesicki and Wilkins.
Yeah, we can probably kind of throw Jordan Wilkins away. That was probably just to make a trade calculator work. But what do you think, Addison?
Yeah, I would actually take the Kenny Drake and Tyler Lockett side just for value standpoint, because I'm not on Marcus Mariota anymore. Jordan Wilkins, I don't care about. And Gesicki, I don't care about at all right now. I do agree with Brian, though, that he is, you know, he's this Jimmy Graham type tight end who is going to have an Eric Ebron type career. And if I can get off of him now and let other owners get really impatient with him and then buy him again in like a year or two, that'll be totally fine with me. And if you need him as a throw in on it to make a trade work, I'm totally fine with that right now. So I'm essentially looking at this as Drake and Lockett for Mariota. And, you know, like Brian said, if the Mariota guy who's giving up Mariota is pretty good at quarterback, then I'll take Drake and Lockett. I don't really like any of these players at all. Like, I'm not a Drake guy. I think Lockett's overrated. I don't like Mariota really. So this isn't a type of trade I would make because I wouldn't own any of these players. But I guess I would take Drake and Lockett.
Well, sorry to bother you with this trade. But I mean, I do think you guys said it all. I'm still just barely on the Marcus Mariota side, but this is one that I'll say, I'll call this one a coin flip, and you can base it on roster construction. And it's for all the reasons that you guys said. I mean, the win now value is the win now pieces and the current value is all on the Kenyon Drake side and the Tyler Lockett side. Marcus Mariota, I mean, I have a feeling he's going to make us feel bad and look bad for selling so low on him at some point. But right at the moment, I mean, all the value is on that Drake and Lockett side. So I'm all right with that. Next one, Trade Addicts 3 League. And this is Christian McCaffrey for Sam Darnold, Cortland Sutton, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. And Christian McCaffrey is winning this 67% to 33%.
So let's throw a little context in here. Okay. Because I know that this was one of Outhouse's deals. Actually, this one and the next one we're going to talk about. And they were in the same league. So he is currently his team in this league. When you look at his roster, or when you looked at his roster before he made these moves, it was one of the better rosters in the league. Like, I would say top half by far. Mm-hmm. But he was 1-7, and he's going to be 1-8 after this week in this league, which, again, is kind of astounding based on the roster that he has. So he is kind of rebuilding/reloading, if you will. And I'm in this one as well. And I know he's the McCaffrey side in this one. So what do you guys think about this one overall?
He gave up McCaffrey or he got
he gave
back?
Up. No, he gave up McCaffrey for Darnold, Sutton, and Valdez Scantling.
It's McCaffrey side easy.
Oh, come on, God.
This is the easiest trade in the world. I'm so on the Christian McCaffrey side. It's not even funny. Sam Darnold mean nothing to me. He's outside the top 25 in quarterbacks.
Super flex.
Everything. I don't care. You're only going to play him whenever you need a quarterback on a bye week. I can do that with Ryan Tannehill. I don't care about Darnold at all.
I dare you. I dare you to do that with Ryan Tannehill.
I would. I'm not right now because he's hurt. So I can do that with Brock Osweiler. But
he's hurt forever. Okay. Brock Osweiler, then that's fine.
Yeah, sure. So, no, but Sutton, I love Sutton. I'm a huge Sutton fan. Mm-hmm. I do really like MVS as well, but this is so far and away the Christian McCaffrey side for me. It's not even funny.
In a vacuum,
yeah. I understand the rebuild thing.
You and I are having a tough
so
night
I can
here.
See. I'm
we're,
sorry.
This isn't
I'm
even
sorry.
Our house, and we're going to get into a big throwdown here.
Yeah, no. It's just, in a vacuum, it's McCaffrey. With the context, it's still McCaffrey. But it's closer than in a vacuum, because I understand that's the side.
Yeah. No, I mean, for a contender, I'd be okay with McCaffrey. I feel like it's a little too much to give up for Christian McCaffrey, but I could see, you know, first of all, needing to cash in on some of this young talent to give you that contending piece. So I'd be okay with that. For a reload side, it's easily the Darnold Sutton MVS side. Not even close for me. I mean, those are long-term pieces that you get to build around. Guys who are only going to increase in value, you know, every single year for the next several years, while Christian McCaffrey is, you know, trying to hurdle guys and end up getting flipped upside down. These guys are going to be, they're not taking the damage that he takes. I mean, it's just an inherently violent position, the running back position. These other guys get to, you know, Cortland Sutton and MVS, they get to just kind of catch touchdown passes when no one ever touches them. Like, they get to do that all year while Christian McCaffrey is getting tenderized like a piece of meat. So these guys are going to just continue to increase in value while Christian McCaffrey loses value every time he touches the ball.
This is fun. I'm probably somewhere in the middle of you guys. I will say that I traded outhouse Christian McCaffrey in this league back in early September. Actually, right before the season began, I traded McCaffrey to him. And I want him back. I would love to have him back. I really would. This particular deal... I think it's close, especially given the situation with his team and knowing that he's kind of doing that whole rebuild, reload thing. I would have a hard time, even with the pieces on the Darnold. To me, this all hinges on Sam Darnold. If Darnold becomes a quarterback who was worthy of being selected in rookie drafts in the top five picks, then long-term, this is going to be that side. It's just a matter of, do we believe he can be that guy? Do we believe that he can be the long-term answer in New York, and not just the long-term, like Vinny Testaverde answer, but like, you know, long-term, is he going to be a star in the league? You know, or a long time solid, you know, Matt Ryan type guy. So yeah, I would probably lean slightly to the McCaffrey side, but not by a lot. And again, given the situation, I could understand the other side there too. So again, this is like another one that I totally copped out on.
All right, one
I'm,
more
I'm good for that, because I don't like I don't I outhouse gives me he gives me crap on here all the time because of that.
Really?
He's like, take a stand, for God's sakes.
Yeah, that's all right. It is, like I said, I mean, to me, McCaffrey has the most value for the rest of this season. But as early as next season, I mean, this becomes a total win for Outhouse getting those three young guys. who are going to be, you know, potential starters for him for the next, as long as he wants, essentially. And they're going to have a lot more value, you know, for him to be able to trade going forward. But that's just my opinion. I know that I've got to, I take the fun out of fantasy when it comes to running backs. But all right, so here's another one from Trade Addicts 3. Matthew Stafford, Keenan Allen, and Ito Smith for James Conner, Tyler Boyd, and Marlon Mack. And the Conner-Boyd-Mack side is winning this one almost 2-1, 63% to 37%. Addison, where are you at on this one?
Yeah, this one I think is closer than 65-35. I'm still taking the Conner, Boyd, and Mack side, but it's really close because this is my opinion here. Uh-huh. I think that if you can capitalize on getting James Conner and Tyler Boyd and Marlon Mack, Ito Smith is kind of whatever for me. And so I think Mack has value that you can flip quickly. And I think Conner is going to continue to gain value such that you can flip him then for a better quarterback than Matthew Stafford. So it kind of will eventually turn into a Stafford for something plus, like a Stafford plus it would eventually wind up being Matthew Stafford for a better quarterback and a little extra something as well. So, and then you got Tyler Boyd on the outside, who's kind of replacing Keenan Allen. Both of whom I think are going to be very good wide receivers and can kind of be in that same tier of production, unless Keenan Allen starts kicking in touchdowns, then that'll wind up being different. But to me, the key here is James Conner, who I am very, 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 very high on. And I think that you'd be able to flip him for a better quarterback than Matthew Stafford and a little something extra, while the rest of it all stays the value on your side. And then if you can flip Mac for something as well too, then I would do that as well. So, but it's like insanely close for me because I'm a huge Stafford guy as well. And I see his value in Superflex too. And so, yeah, but I hate making trades based on the fact that you are then betting on yourself to make another trade in the future. But
this is the Trade Addicts podcast.
Right.
Yeah, but there will be more moves coming. Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, you are just completely actually right on this one. I'm with you on this one. So, Brian, tell us about this one. Where are you at on it? And also, we'd like to know which one, which side was outhouse.
Yeah, so for me, I'm actually on the other side of this one from you guys. I would probably lean with the Stafford, Allen, Ito Smith side. I believe that Ito Smith can be as productive as Marlon Mack, even though I do like Marlon Mack. I'm not sure that he, when his contract comes up, even if he stays healthy, is going to be there. I mean, they drafted Hines for a reason too, and he's a very similar back. So I'm not really sure on the Marlon Mack thing. I really like what I've seen the last couple of weeks. You know, the way he's run the ball and the way he's produced. I just don't know if that's what we're going to see. I had him a couple of weeks ago as when the buy trade keeps, I had him as a keep because I want to see what they're going to do with him and see how much Hines gets worked into that offense as well. But to me, this deal comes down to Keenan Allen. I love Keenan Allen. I'm kind of high, Addison, like you are on him. I think Keenan's he's a top five wide receiver for me, I think, or at least borderline in that range. So, you know, and then Stafford, he's having a bad year. There's no way to really sugarcoat that, especially this past week is his worst week all season. He scored like 8 fantasy points. It was terrible. You know, but historically speaking, he's been pretty good. I mean, he's usually top 7 quarterback, and in Superflex, that's really valuable. So, I know why. So Russ Outhouse was the one giving away Stafford and Keenan Allen and Ito Smith. So he received Conner, Boyd, and Mack. And I think in the course of these two deals, I think it makes sense that he made both of them, and it makes. You know, he got pretty good return on both of these deals, at least at least good pieces that have a good chance of turning into some really, really nice players. So, you know, I understand why he made them, and I think he made out fine on both of these deals combined. But in this one, I would lean just slightly towards the Stafford Allen side, because again, I'm a big Keenan Allen guy. So
yeah, it's probably a fair point actually on Ito Smith, but, and I think you are kind of buying low on Keenan Allen a little bit. So, but yeah, I'm with Addison on this. Just the fact that James Conner and Tyler Boyd, for that matter, and Marlon Mack, even, they've got a lot of value yet to gain that they haven't even achieved yet. So, one more trade here from Trade Addicts 1, and it's Christian Kirk straight up for Chris Carson. Christian Kirk is leading in that poll 65% to 35%. Brian, what do you think?
So this is a contender who is working with a person in a complete rebuild. So the person giving Kirk is a contender, and the person that's receiving Kirk is in 100% rebuild. Having said that, to me, this is a piece of cake. It's Christian Kirk, hands down. I don't even feel like I have to talk about it.
Daddy?
Wow. With the context, this trade is completely fair on both sides. It is completely preferential between Carson and Kirk. I could also use the cop-out that this is completely team-dependent as well. If you need wide receiver depth, go Kirk. If you need running back depth, go Carson. I think that's basically it. It's not a slam dunk on either side for me. So it's kind of just, you know, team-dependent and preferential. You know, which player do you like more?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, I will say, and I'm a huge Chris Carson fan. He's an electric playmaker, just so everyone knows. And I got extremely tired of hearing Christian Kirk's name over at the Superflex Super Show, to a point where I was completely adverse to having him on any of my rosters. But just, you know, just my overall philosophy on how these guys work, I'm going to take Christian Kirk in a vacuum. But yeah, I think you're right. Just kind of, it's very team dependent. It's kind of, what do you need? And preferential is also fine. So, which allows me to take Chris Carson over Christian Kirk most of the time, because that is definitely my preference. All right, so real quick, we got to ask Addison about ffstatistics.com. How do you get going on that, and what do you get out of that paid membership?
Yeah. So you can go on and buy a paid membership to FF Statistics, which will be good for the rest of the season. You get access to our start sit tool, a redraft trade analyzer, and defense data, which breaks down game logs and stats for every defense in terms of what they allow. So you can quickly go in and compare multiple defenses there. I really like that tool, and it's helpful for start sit decisions as well, and with DFS and stuff. So you can kind of see which defenses are softer in what areas and stuff like that. So that's all the access that you get for the premium membership over at ffstatistics.com. And then you can also become a patron of the site. We have different tiers and stuff and benefits as well. And then you get access to to all of the analysts, John and myself included, for kind of individualized, you know, advice and stuff like that. You get access to our DFS guys who are amazing. They know what they're talking about, and they win, I think, basically every single week. We always have our DFS review on how these guys are doing, and they all talk about how they're winning, you know, 60-70% of their contests and stuff like that. So it's always a fun time to talk with them for DFS. So you get access to all that stuff with different tiers, extra podcasts, everything like that. So go check those two things out for FF Statistics, and hopefully we can help you guys win some fantasy and dynasty championships.
Nice. And yeah, I use FF Statistics for 90% of my research. So, you know, $10 membership, it paid for itself within the first week, and I still get it for the rest of the season. Highly, highly encourage this. Where can they find you on Twitter and other various corners of the internet.
Yes, I'm on Twitter at AmazeHaze underscore.
Do you have Facebook?
No, I don't have Facebook, actually.
Insta, Snap.
Don't have either one of those two as well. It's what? All Twitter. You're yeah, I'm a weird millennial. I'm a weird millennial. I played Fortnite. I don't play it anymore. But yeah, it's at AmazeHaze underscore on Twitter, at FFStatistics underscore on Twitter as well. That's the site. And then you can find the site at FFStatistics.com. Listen to the FF Statistics podcast, rate and review that podcast. And while you're at it, rate and review this podcast as well, because they're both fantastic. So I think that's it.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So I just want to say thank you guys to both of you for being on tonight. Addy, again, we've been trying to get you on here for a long time, and it's really awesome that we were able to make this work this evening.
Yeah, he was a gracious guest at times.
Yes, absolutely. And John, of course, thank you so much for stepping in and hosting the show. I know that takes a lot of pressure off of this guy right here.
Nice.
Who's not used to being in that role. So I certainly appreciate that. And I'm almost 100% positive that our listeners are going to really enjoy this. So,
yeah, definitely. It was a lot of fun to do it, and happy to step in and make sure that the dynamic of the podcast that everyone has grown to love, we can maintain that. But Dynasty Outhouse back next week. Until then, I can be found at SuperflexDude on Twitter. I'm also the host of the Superflex Super Show. And like Addison said, I'm the co-host of FF Statistics, the podcast. And as far as the Trade Addicts podcast goes here, you should, if you're not already, please subscribe to the podcast. And if you have already subscribed, because you know how awesome it is, then please give a rating and review so everybody knows how awesome this show is. And follow on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod. Dynasty Outhouse is at Dynasty Outhouse. And then Brian is at Brian Har FF. Give them all some follows. And also subscribe to the DLF Family of Podcasts mega feed, because that's where the Trade Addicts podcast now resides. So make sure that you're subscribed everywhere so that you can keep up with the show every single week. Like I said, Outhouse is back next week, and until then, I don't even know how you guys end this thing. I think you just kind of stop talking, right?
Everybody, yeah, it's like that's the end of our show.
Kind of wanders away.
That's like, the end of the show.
Everyone just kind of wanders off like bored farmyard animals.
Yeah, essentially. Right. That was a perfect description.
Perfect. We can do that. Let's do it.
Before we all wander away like farm animals, I want to remind everyone about the Jar Jar Binks trophy contest we have going on. Check out my pinned tweet at Dynasty Outhouse. And all you got to do is rate and review the pod, send me a screenshot, and you will be entered into a raffle to win the trophy. You know, you have to let the people in your league know that you suck. Otherwise, thanks for stopping by, and see you next time on the Trade Addicts podcast.